Hi, this is Tom, guitar player for Private Fear, Sinner, and Rock Meets Classic, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Hey everyone, this is Gonzo with Sonic Perspectives, and today we are being joined by a guy who loves playing in Primal Fear so much he can't stop coming back. Mr. Tom Naumann, how kind of you to join us today.
Hello, guys. How are you?
So, you've been in and out of Primal Fear since the band started, but this time around, you didn't replace anybody when we joined them, and now you're a three-guitar band.
Not really, because Magnus, he's doing the studio duties, and he's writing song and producing the albums, or kind of producing the albums together with Matt. And he writes a lot of songs, but because of family issues, he cannot go out on tour. So that's why Alex and me are taking the duties to play live and makes your ears bleed.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. But when you guys record, it's three guitar players playing all the parts. Is that correct?
Yes. Not like playing all the parts, because everybody's playing a special kind of parts, and if you go to the playing the lead guitar, so we split up the solo, so everything will be nice and well organized.
Okay, how exactly do you split up the parts then? Does one guy do all the rhythm parts, and what about all the harmonies and stuff?
Most of the time, Magnus does a lot of rhythm parts, but when Alex and me are writing songs or got some ideas, we also record that stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds nice and simple.
Yeah, it's cool. I can live with that. I also would love to be in the studio as a band and to hang out and to record together and to discuss things. But nowadays, it's sometimes a little bit difficult because we have a drummer coming from Italy. We got three guys living around Stuttgart, and we got another guy who lives in France, and then we got the Magnus who lives in Sweden, so it's pretty tough to bring them all together in a rehearsal room and all that stuff. So it's nowadays, it's just like normal. You have your own studio at home, and then you write your own ideas and your own songs. And then we got a Dropbox where we put in all our ideas, and then we can work together on some special kind of stuff. And so, and sometimes I got a riff, and then I send a riff to Matt, and Matt says, that's quite good. So come over, because I just live 6 or 8 miles away from Matt. And so, and we got the same hobbies and all that stuff. So we are in contact very often. And so sometimes we go I will come over on Saturday, then we can work on a song, then we watch soccer together and have a beer and all that stuff. So that's pretty a relaxed kind of work.
Okay, so I didn't realize that you guys were doing all your recording long distance. Like, I remember 15 years ago, Arion did that, and it was like a weird new thing to record internationally like that. And now it seems like everybody's doing it.
Yeah, but when we go into the studio, we record the drums live. Mm-hmm. So we're using drum computer stuff, we record the drums live, and then everybody's working at home and on his parts, and that's the normal way it goes. It's like times are changing, when we started Primal Fear, we were all in the studio, and we hang out for 3 or 4 weeks to record an album together. But you sold a lot of copies way back then, and you get a lot of money from the record company, so you can afford to rent a studio for that kind of period. Nowadays, as you probably might know, the record sales are going down the drain because of MP3 and Spotify and all that other stuff, and so the record companies don't have so much money anymore, and so they give you maybe just a half of what we got a couple of years ago for recording an album. But the fans would like to have the same quality and all that stuff. So you have to decide if you go into a studio to have the band feeling, and maybe you have a shitty album out because it's not well played or well produced or well recorded or well mixed and mastered, or you just do it at home. You save some money because you have your studio by your own. You don't have to rent anything. And then you can spend more time in recording and in mixing and mastering to get the same sound and everything else that you got from the last albums you released.
And, you know, speaking of the sound, I mean, I was listening to Apocalypse just a moment ago. It sounds fantastic. I never would have thought that it was pieced together this way. It sounds like a live, like a very, very well-rehearsed band in the studio, the old-fashioned way.
But we are a really well-prepared and well-rehearsed band because we play a lot of shows live. Mm-hmm. And we just started like last week. I think we were last week. We played in Italy and we played in next to our hometown at the Bang Your Head Festival. And so we played the Hounds of Justice for the very first time in front of a live crowd. And it really turned out to be a great song and to be a really a cool rocker. And the fans really loved it and it was fun to play. And we were after the show, we looked at each other and we go like, it sounded like we played the songs for 3 or 4 years. It was really like, wow. It was really well played and very tight, and it was pretty fun to play that song live.
I'm sure it also helps that you guys have been playing together for over 20 years now.
Yeah, sure, because Alex and I, we know exactly what the other guy is doing, and it's like we have a really good relationship off stage and on stage, and we really not... You know, when we were kids, when we were like, we played together when we were like 20 or 25, like we have our regular normal fights, who gets into the limelight playing guitar solos and all that stuff. But now we are getting older and we are wiser and more relaxed, and we go like, ah, come on, just do the solo or do this or do that. And so it's not like a competition anymore. It's just like a healthy competition. But it's more like helping the other guy and having fun on stage without having the feel of that's a competition. I have to be better than this guy or whatever. So it's more like let's do this shit together. Then it sounds fantastic.
You know, it was really funny to hear you say that you guys are more relaxed now because Apocalypse is not easy listening. like it's driving music. Like it's stuff that makes me want to go really, really fast in my car, and I will probably get pulled over for speeding while I listen to it. we'll get to that a little bit later.
But then we have two ballads on the album.
but those are heavy too.
Oh, okay, they're heavy, but they're ballads, so that's like more slow in slower songs.
I'll time it so that I'm passing through a residential area during those songs.
Okay, and we got some mid-tempo rockers and groovy stuff, and okay, we have also got like some double bass tracks and really fast song like New Rise, like the opener of the album.
Well, what's the songwriting process for you guys? Like, how do you make this stuff come to life?
Like in the beginning, we just try to collect ideas, just to hang around. When I'm on my terrace even with an acoustic guitar, then you got a melody or you got a riff. And I record it on my iPhone. And then later I go down into my studio and I go like, oh, I got like several ideas. And then I start to record it to find out the tempo and all the stuff. And then I start to record it. And even if it's just a riff, I put it in a Dropbox. We got a Primafia Dropbox and everybody can put his ideas in there. And then we can work with this idea or that idea, and then we did the final song, and then we decide which songs will be on the album. Then the album got released or will be released, it's in August, and then we will make up our minds which songs we will play live. And then we start to rehearse maybe 5, 6, 7 songs of the album, and then we will decide which songs are playable and which songs are really played well and which songs are too heavy to play or they do not sound great or good enough, and then we have to skip them. So that's our final decision when we are in the rehearsal room and we play our songs.
You know, we were talking guitars just a moment ago, and the Primal Feel rhythm guitar tone is one of the most wicked guitar tones I have ever heard.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and some of our readers have been asking about what kind of gear you use to make those sounds, like heads and cabs and pickups and stuff. Well, what do you guys use to make these albums sound so good, besides your own fingers and ears?
I'm not sure, but I think probably Magnus plays a Kemper. And I'm also playing a Kemper, but I'm using angle profiles. And I think that Marcus also uses Engel profiles for all the rhythm and the lead stuff. And Alex is playing Marshall. He's the analog guy. Alex is the analog guy, and he hates Kemper. He hates Kemper because every time when we are on tour and we play like South America, and I take my Kemper with me all the time in a small rag with my wireless system, and he's always got rental gear, rental Marshalls, and when you play South America, half of the gear does not really work, and he's kind of envy because everywhere we go and my gear arrives there, I do have the same sound everywhere on the world, and sometimes he has like bad luck and gets some destroyed Marshall amps.
Oh, there is something kind of romantic about doing it the old-fashioned way, though, isn't there?
Yeah, but to be honest, I love when I was like, when we did the first Primal Fear stuff, I played Engel Savage till 2013, and I still love to play it. But then I got member of the Rock Meets Classic family, and you play with different musicians, and you have a three-hour show with 30 songs, and you got like, we had Steve Walsh of Kansas, and we got Scott Gorham from Thin Lizzy, and Scott and Pete Lincoln from the Swede, and we got Dan McCafferty of Nazareth, and Joey Tappets from Europe. And so you need different kind of sounds for every musician or for every band. And that's why I bought a Kemper, because there are so many sounds in it, and they sound cool, and everything is fine, and it's really easy to handle and easy to work with.
You know, I want to take a break to talk about Rock Meets Classic right now, and then we'll get back to Primal Fear, because like I didn't realize that you were in Rock Meets Classic, and not all of our readers know what that is. Could you tell us a little bit about that and about your involvement?
It's Rock Meets Classic is a brand in Germany that lasts for like 9 years, and we will have the 10th anniversary in 2019. And this year was my third time that I did this Rock Meets Classic stuff. And it's like you have an orchestra. We have like a 60-piece orchestra with all the violins and everything. What you need for having a good orchestra. And then you have a rock band. And, for example, Alex of Primal Fear is involved. Matt is involved. And he's the musical director. And I'm involved. And then we got original musicians and original singers. And we played our songs. For example, this last year we got Steve Lukather of Toto, and you play Rosanna and Africa. And then we got Don Felder, and you play Life in the Fast Lane. You play Hotel California. We also had Doro. We had Joey Tempest of Europe. We got Francis Rossi, Ian Gillan, Alice Cooper. And it's like a three-hour show. And we got every artist or guest artist will play like four or five songs. And it's a perfect combination to have the opportunity and possibility to share the stage with a great rock musicians, great personalities and lovely and nice people who influenced your life way back when you were young.
Please bring that to the United States. Please, that sounds incredible.
It's really fucking incredible. So next year we will have like Ian Gillan will play a lot of Deep Purple stuff. Then we have Kevin Cronin from Aria Speedwagon. We have the Mike Reno of Loverboy. We have the Swede, and there are final negotiations with, I guess, Thin Lizzy. And for me, it's like a dream come true because Thin Lizzy was there when I did my first Rock Meets Classic, and to have the opportunity to be on stage with one of the guitar players who influenced my life, it's a fucking amazing thing. It's like, wow, a dream came true. You're like, be on stage and play Rosalie and all that stuff and Jailbreak. It's like, wow, amazing stuff.
Wow. It's like living your schoolboy dreams doing that.
I did that last year because when I was young, I was really into Rick Springfield's music. I loved the Living in Oz album and all that stuff. I really liked his stuff, and I dressed like him, and I was like, wow. And then Matt came on and said, yeah, next year we'll have Rick Springfield. And I go like to Alex, I'm like, Matt, Alex, you can do whatever you want, but I play every fucking solo on this Rick Springfield tunes. And we play Love Somebody and Celebrate Youth and Jesse's Girl. And that was really, really fantastic experience for me. Also to play, to hang out with Steve Lukather and play his songs. It's like a dream came true. And this year we played in Frankfurt, and there was the Music Fairies, and Jeff Waters of NLA, he came by and saw the show, and he was like, Tom, what the fuck is this? It's the most amazing thing that I ever saw in my fucking whole life. And he was like, wow, that was cool. And it's really fun, you know, like playing their songs, and then have the opportunity to hang out with them at the hotel bar, and just to say, can you tell me something about Phil Lynott, or can you tell me something about Don Henley, or stuff like that? And they go like, yeah, sure, let's have a drink, and I tell you something about Phil Lynott or whatever, or you have a regular conversation. Or like this year, we had Jesse Greenberg, who was playing for Supertramp, and his father was the original drummer, and there are so many funny stories and to tell. And we got Eric Bersun of the Hooters, and he brought his mandolin at the hotel bar, and we're hanging at the hotel bar, closing at 2 o'clock, but we were still hanging there till 5 o'clock, singing Beatles songs. Amazing experience. It's like, wow, it's a dream come true. And you know, the fun part is like, now I have the mobile, the phone number of Steve Lukather, and Michael Sadler of Saga. He's writing me every week, and I got in touch with Eric Bersun of the Hooters, and we're just writing on Facebook, and it's amazing stuff. It's really fun to play those songs.
Wow, I could listen to your rock meets classic stories all night. But I know it's late over there in Germany, so let's go on and get back to the Primal Fear stuff. By the way, when I said bring that to the United States, I wasn't joking. That sounds like something that would need to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, the problem is like we got everything. We got the lights, we got the whole show, we got the stages, we got the orchestra, and it's like there was like around 100 people traveling every fucking day. And if you go to America and you have to buy flight tickets for 100 people, it's a expensive thing to do. And then you have your shows, and you still need a lot of money, because if there are 100 persons working, they all need to have hotel rooms, they need food, they need everything. And if you do it for the first time in America, you don't know what to expect. Normally you need like 2,500-3,000 people to have a break even.
Well, we can keep dreaming then.
Maybe there is some crazy guy over there and said, I would like to have it, and I will bring it over there.
Well, I'll see if I can talk to the right people.
Yeah.
So, Primal Fear has a new album coming out very soon. It's called Apocalypse. It's sick. And there's a lot of harmonized riffs. There's a lot of harmonized solos. There's a lot of harmonized melodies on the new record. How you managed to stand out among all the other bands, because like this is something that you guys have been doing for a while, and Primal Fear is one of those bands that helped bring this style of metal back to life in the late 90s, but now there's so many other bands doing it. Do you guys do anything consciously to stand out from the crowd?
No, not really, because as we started the band, we were just, I met Ralph and Matt, and we just sat there and we go like, guys, you know, we live in the same city, so let's meet up once in a while and write a couple of cool tunes together. And we just started to write songs, and we never thought about that Primal Fear would be successful in any kind of way, especially in 1996, 1997, where the grunge scene was ruling the world and heavy metal was totally off the radar. And we just wrote songs because we just had fun, and then we recorded a demo, and then we got a record deal in Japan, and then we got a deal in Germany, and then the album came out and we got successful, and then everybody started like, this is the album that Judas Priest had to release after the Painkiller album, and so we got compared to Judas Priest just because of Ralph has a similar voice than Rob Halford, but we never thought that we like sound like Judas Priest clones. We just tried to write our own stuff, and we have our own quality and our own way to write melodies and way to write songs, and we always try to improve our skills in writing songs or playing solos or creating something new or something different. And I do not look to, I don't care, Iron Maiden or Iced Earth or to Accept or whatever. Just I sit in my studio and I start to play the guitar. And if I like this riff, I record that riff. If I don't like it, I skip it. And maybe someone else would go like, oh, that is a fucking riff and you skipped it. And, yeah, because I don't like it. So everybody of us has his own style of writing songs or to bring in special kind of melodies or to make it interesting. And we always try to improve ourselves. Like, I don't want to record the same album year after year after year. And then we always try to push it a little bit further. Like, we cannot lose our roots. We have to stick to our roots, but we just don't want to do the same stuff over again and over again and over again. So we just want to be a little bit different. And this is maybe also a point that keeps us healthy in our minds in writing songs or improve in ourselves in doing different kinds of stuff.
So what are your favorite moments on the album?
That depends on my mood, to be honest. So,
okay, angry mood. What's your favorite moment when you're angry?
I love To Rise. It's like a really a great song for me. I love The Beast. It's also great. The Ritual is a cool track. And when I'm in a more relaxed mood, I go into Eye of the Storm. So we got a lot of different kind of songs on the album. We got really like Your Eyes is a really fast, like sort of trashy fast song. Then we got a lot of groove songs and slow double bass songs. We got ballads, we got rockers, we got metal tunes. So I think we got a really good album with different kind of music and songs on it.
Are there any moments on the album that were particularly difficult for you guys to make happen?
No, I don't think so. Sometimes it just like takes some time to figure out how it can work. Because if you got an idea, and now I'm closing my eyes at the moment just to get, I would like, it has to sound like this or it has to sound like that. That's the most difficult part to get on tape or to get on your disc, what you hear in your mind. And if you get close to it, then everything is fine. So I think that's the most difficult part, to get all the stuff that you got in your mind when you write a song and then you record a song, just to get it exactly on tape or on the record, then you got it in your mind. And that's the most difficult stuff. But when it comes to record all that stuff then, and you got everything set up in your mind and you know exactly how it has to sound, then it's easy then, because then you try to let your fingers speak as good as you can. Or in Ralph's case, his voice speaks.
Well, I have to tell you that I didn't really know what to expect from the new Primal Fear album, but I am really, really enjoying it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's very good stuff. I mean, like, you know, you guys, you know, decided what you guys wanted to do and how you wanted Primal Fear to sound early on, and you've stuck with that with remarkable dedication, but it never gets old. Like, you guys still sound young and alive, and like you're having the time of your life every time I put in a Primal Fear CD.
Yeah, but as I told you, I have fun doing this shit. And when you're having fun and you're really into it, and we all have fun, and we're having a lot of fun when we hang out together, when we're on tour, or when we play festivals, there's a lot of love and everything. And we got a very positive vibe in the band. And I think if you are positive, then you will kind of hear it on an album. And we don't want to lose our roots, as I told you before. We want to stick to what it's all about Primal Fear. But we always want to improve ourselves without losing our roots. And that's a tricky stuff to do. But I'm not sure if our fans would love if we would make like a grunge album or emo core album. So we rather stick to that what we love and what we like and what we can play.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago that when you first started Primal Fear with Matt and Ralph, Matt had been playing in Sinner since like the early 80s. Yes. Ralph had been in Gamma Ray already. What was your background at that point?
I was playing in Sinner since 1988.
Oh, so, for that long?
Yeah, I got in my old band, and we were popular in here in the area, and then we made a demo, and Matt recorded the demo, and he loved one song on the demo, and he asked me if he could put it on a Sinner album. And so I agreed. And then I think 1 year later, he asked me if I would like to join Sinner and to go on tour. And since then, we hang out together and we have fun. And 1996, when Ralph was got the chance to be the new singer of Judas Priest, he formed a band called Just Priest, who was playing like a Judas Priest tribute band. Mm-hmm. And then they had a show. And the drummer, who was also a good friend of mine, he called me one day and asked me if I could join Just Priest for a show in their hometown because their original guitar player has a marriage on that day. And so I was a huge Judas Priest fan because originally I started because of Glenn Tipton of Judas Priest. He gave me five on the show when I saw them way back in 1981 at the Point of Entry tour.
Wow.
So I was a huge Judas Priest fan way back then. And so it was easy for me to join the tribute band. And then the drummer called me again a couple of days later and asking me, do you know a bass player? Because our bass player is the best friend of our guitar player. So he's going to be on the wedding as well. Hmm. And I go, like, oh, I can ask Matt. And then we rehearsed together these three tunes. And then Ralph, Matt, and I, we sat together. We're like, hey, we live in the same city. Let's write songs together. Mm-hmm. And so it all started just writing songs. And we never, to be honest, we never thought to be that successful. Or we just had fun writing songs. It was like 1997, and there were like a lot of guys with strange haircuts and beards on MTV and singing strange songs for us called grunge. And it wasn't our time. And then I think that Hammerfall released a true metal album. And they got really popular in Germany. And just mm-hmm. like 2 months after that, we released our album and it went into the charts. And it was like all of a sudden we played every huge festival in Europe. And we were really big by that time. It was really an awesome experience to make.
Aren't you glad you did it?
Yes, it was fun. And it's, to be honest, it's still fun. Like we played Hellfest. You can see Iron Maiden and... We played last week. We played in Italy. We saw Geoff Tate, who's doing his Greenstrike stuff. So it's great to meet a lot of guys. You know, like oh, we played with Accept, and they come along. They go, "Hey Tom, how you doing?" And we're like, "What the fuck? How do you know my name? I was a fan." And they're like, "Now they're sitting next to me and go like, hey, I bring you a beer if you want one." And it's fucking amazing. And then you start to realize that you belong to this metal music community, which really gives me shivers all the time. Like when we played Hellfest and there was like Arch Enemy was on stage and I was having a drink and I went outside and having a smoke with my backliner, and then Michael Emmett came and he saw me like 30 meters away and was like, hey Tom, great to see you, how are you doing? And I go like, Michael Emmett, the great guitar player of Arch Enemy, he knows me and he's talking to me. It was like amazing shit, you know. And it's just fun to hang out with all those guys and having fun at that festival, to see a lot of bands, and just pure fun, and I really enjoy it. I live my dream, because when I was young, I always wanted to be a rock star. And then I turned my hobby into a living, and I'm living it, and that's why I enjoy every day of my life when I can do this kind of music, except when I have to hang out on the airport for too long because the flight got canceled.
Wow, man, what, you know, that's a great place to be, man. I'm really happy for you.
I really appreciate this.
So I have one last question for you. So Matt and Francesco are also in Sinner.
Yes.
In fact, Primal Fear and Sinner have five guys in common that I know of. Mm-hmm. And both bands have remained very active over the years. Do you ever get confused who you're playing with?
Not really, to be honest, because I know most of the guys already for a couple of years. And, you know, like, I played in Sinner from 1998 till 1997, and then I rejoined, and then now I'm back again. And it's just like, we played a festival just 3 weeks ago. It was just like pure fun to be on stage and rock this shit out. It's just like, wow. And it's more like, yeah, we take it easy. We're not too serious about ourselves. We just go out having a good time and try to make the crowd enjoy our kind of music.
Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. Thank you so much. I am looking forward to seeing you guys on the road very, very soon.
That would be nice, yeah. Then we can have some lukewarm Heineken or Budweiser.
Or whatever other garbage we drink here.
I hope to see you soon somewhere on tour in America. Or maybe you have the possibility to come over to visit some of the great metal festivals in Germany or in Europe.
You know, I've only seen Primal Fear once. I think it was while you were away. It was at Prague Power USA, like in 2009.
I never played Prague Power.
No? Okay.
I never played it. It was the time period when I was not in.
Oh, okay.
I guess I think that Henny played there. I guess Henny and Stefan. I guess.
And I think Pamela Moore was there too.
Yeah,
that was in 2009. I remember that.
Okay, maybe Alex was in there. I don't have a clue, to be honest.
Yeah, neither do I. I had a lot of beer that weekend.
It would be nice to play the Prog Power. Maybe we can do this again next year or so.
Oh, yeah, you guys are huge there. The fans love you.
Yeah, and you have to check out the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. This is awesome.
Yes, that is on my list.
I did it twice. I did it, was the second time this year, and it's just a blast, man, to meet all the guys from different bands, and you hang out with fans, and you're on the cruise, and you go to whatever, in Jamaica or Turk Islands, and just enjoy and relax. It's so fucking amazing. You really have to do it once in your life.
You know, when the waters are rough, like, does it ever get difficult performing if the waters are too rough?
I had, like, some kind of experience when I played, and you know, things like, and the boat was, like, going left, right, left, and you make a step, and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. It feels like you're drunk a little bit, but normally it's all cool. It's really a huge boat. It's like, wow, this is like 15 floors or 16 floors and 300 meters long. And, you know, the first time I was there, I just saw Alex when I met him on stage, because it's so huge and everybody's hanging around somewhere and talking to Pretty Maids or Destruction or Annihilator or how many bands are there on the boat. It's like unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang out and you can watch other bands play and having a drink, and you don't have to drive home afterwards, so it's very relaxed.
That is exactly where I want to go.
Sure.
One day.
Cool.
All right, Tom. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You have a good night, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Primal Fear guitarist Tom Newman, ladies and gentlemen. What a cool dude. You know, I've chatted with a lot of musicians I admire over the years, and almost all of them have been super cool people, but I can honestly say that Tom is one of the most sincere and gentle and down-to-earth rockers I've ever had the pleasure of chatting with. Really cool dude, and I definitely look forward to hanging out with him whenever Primal Fear hits the road. Primal Fear's new album is called Apocalypse, and it'll be online and in stores on August 10th via Frontiers Music. There's a lot of package deals available that include CDs and DVDs and t-shirts and 180-gram gatefold LPs for all you collectors out there. Anyway, do remember to subscribe to our podcast to get notified of all our interviews, and find us and like us on the Facebooks and the Twitters as well. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, and of course, you have to check out sonicperspectives.com, where you're going to find a plethora of album reviews, interviews, photo galleries, news, and other cool stuff. Anyway, this is Gonzo the Unpronounceable signing off once again, and I'm going to leave you this time with a cut from the new Primal Fear album. This song is called Hounds of Justice.
Justice.